content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the accessible books in Canada from the British Columbia Libraries Cooperative. In Perspective, episode number 127, we'll discuss Non-24 and Vanda Pharmaceuticals. Speaking Out is about iris vision. Mystery Books Group meets November 24th. Eyes on Success, episode 1508, is a rerun on blind parenting of sighted children. And the Diabetics in Action fundraiser will feature a Tupperware sale. There is a new set of iOS emoji for blind people, and the Microsoft.com website has news about persons with disabilities and employment. If I have time left, I will read the entire article from Joshua Loya in his blog, Blind Man Walking, that ran in the October 19th newsletter, The Blind Post. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. First up, from NNELS, the National Network for Equitable Library Service, the Canadian Accessible Library System. Accessible Publishing Summit, advocating for born accessible books. Current estimates are that only 5 to 10% of all published materials in any given year are available in accessible formats. The National Network for Equitable Library Service, NNELS, believes we can do better. NNELS and our partners are advocating for an ecosystem in which all published materials in Canada are available in accessible formats at the time of publication, also known as born accessible. Born accessible books are created at the outset in a way that readers with print disabilities can read them, using whatever assistive technology best works for them. Some of the grant-funded initiatives currently being worked on by NNELS are designed to advance the conversation and work toward improving the accessible publishing landscape in Canada. Awesome attendees and powerful participation. In January of 2019, NNELS gathered over 50 people from the e-book production, publishing, and distribution supply chain in Toronto to participate in the first Accessible Publishing Summit, a two-day meeting on accessible publishing. Attendees came from across Canada, with a few coming from the U.S. as well, all braving the chilly Canadian winter. A massive snowstorm, which buried the city in a record-breaking amount of snow, patiently waited until the summit had begun, and all the participants who came from away were safely in Toronto. The key goal of the summit was to create a space where those who have a stake in accessible publishing would be able to work together, to build a community, develop partnerships, and work on ways in which the accessible publishing landscape can be developed and improved upon in Canada. The passion for accessible publishing held by participants was clear from the start. There was 100% attendance on the first day, which can be a rarity for this kind of event. Over two full days, participants actively engaged in numerous discussions and brainstorming sessions, worked up lists of ideas, and talked through existing and potential challenges. For a great breakdown of the events of the 2 days, please take a look at Sarah Hilderly of Inclusive Publishing's excellent blog post. http://trk.cpt20.com/click/cftj-1gefwj-i5kNZJR50. And for an overview of what went on at the summit, as well as some of the key lessons, check out our executive summary and report. After the summit, what's next? Following the summit, participants filled out a survey, and the results were overwhelmingly positive. 92% of attendees agreed that we had gained a deeper understanding of accessible publishing. 82% felt that we had identified some next steps for advancing accessible publishing in Canada. And 92% felt that we had built a sense of community for future collaboration. The development of a strong community and network was one of the key goals of the summit, and quite a few attendees commented that they were able to build connections and collaborate with people and stakeholders they may have otherwise never have had a chance to meet. Here is what some of the summit attendees had to say. I came back to the office with the intention to put the questions of accessible books at the heart of our priorities. I think that having so many people from a diverse range of communities within the umbrella of accessible publishing worked really well in creating an exchange of dialogue. The group was united and everyone had a sincere desire to make progress during the summit. People from different horizons understood each other. And NELS is excited to continue building on the incredible work achieved by participants at the first Accessible Publishing Summit. Thanks in part to a grant from the federal government's Social Development and Partnership Program, Disability Component, SDPP-D, NNELS will be coordinating next steps and hosting a second Accessible Publishing Summit on January 26th and 27th of 2020. The road to widespread born accessible publishing will not be easy. However, we are committed to working with our partners and with the ebook production and distribution industry to make it happen. And this is just what we are doing with our accessible publishing summits. To learn more about this and other exciting initiatives, please visit our website at www.accessiblepublishing.ca and the grants update page. The National Network for Equitable Library Service, NNELS, is a digital public library of downloadable titles for Canadians with perceptual disabilities, supported and fueled by a growing network of readers, community organizations, librarians, publishers, and accessible format producers in Canada and abroad. NNELS is funded and supported by provincial and territorial governments and is available to any public library user with a print disability in Canada. Please visit nnels.ca for more information. From Bob Branco. Below you will find the link to our latest episode of In Perspective. In this episode, Dennis Polselli talked about Non24, Vanda Pharmaceuticals, and the effect that television ads about Non24 are having on the blind community. Please let us know what you think of our discussion. Your opinions matter to us. Here is the link. https://www.brancoevents.com/in-perspective-1270-dennis-polselli/talks-about-non-24-whether-it-exists-and-what-vanda-pharmaceuticals-may-be-doing-to-blind-people/. From www.acbradio.org/mainstream, on October 30th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, episode number... doesn't say. Pleasanton, California-based Iris Vision has invented a user-friendly headset that helps low-vision individuals regain or more fully utilize their sight. Iris Vision founder Dr. Frank Werblin and CEO Ahmad Khan tell us more about the headset. To listen to this week's Speaking Out for the Blind, go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 1-641-793-0756 and when prompted, press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. You may also listen to the program live on the ACB Link mobile app. For more information, go to http://link.acb.org. Show archive page is at http://acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. Please note that there is a link located at the top half of the page and below the heading that says Home, Speaking Out for the Blind, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and listen to Speaking Out for the Blind shows, ranging from episode 94 to the present. Facebook page is at Speaking Out for the Blind, and Twitter page is at Speak Out for the Blind. You may also access this at Speak Out Blind. My new show email address is speakout@acbradio.org. On Sunday, November 24th, 2019, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Mysteries Discussion Group will be discussing Bootlegger's Daughter by Margaret Marone. You can find it on Bard by looking for DB37825. You can find it on Bookshare by going to the following link, https://www.bookshare.org/browse/book/105-6518. All are welcome. Please use the information below to log into the meeting. We hope to see all of you then. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom numbers found on your Zoom invitation. Ann Parsons, facilitator, is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Topic, the Mystery Book Discussion Group. Time, meet Sunday, November 24th, 2019, from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/s/7104-6624. iPhone OneTap in the U.S., +14086380986, #7104346424, or +16468769923, #7104346424, or telephone in the U.S., 1408-638-0986, or 1-646-876-9923, and use the meeting ID 7104346424. International numbers available from https://zoom.us/u/CIDZ(X)OD7. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above two numbers to initiate the call. If you prefer calling on a regular telephone, use one of the above numbers. AccessibleWorld.org, RadioOutOfThePast.org, contacts Robert Acosta, Chair Emeritus, www.accessibleworld.org, and www.radioOutOfThePast.org. Phone 818-998-0044. Email boacosta818@gmail.com. Larry Gassman, Accessible World Co-Chair, AccessibleWorld.org, phone 714-449-1958. Email Larry2Rs, Gassman2Ss, @roadrunner.com. This week's episode... This week's episode of www.eyesonsuccess.net/EOS_1944_podcast.mp3. Episode 1944 Encore of Episode 1508, Blind Parenting of Sighted Children, October 30th, 2019. Show notes. First-time parents have many questions, but what if one of the parents is blind? That is the case with Ron and Denise Miller, who are raising 2-year-old Russell. They talk with hosts Nancy and Peter Torby, who raised 2-sighted children with one parent being blind. They discuss a variety of topics, including feeding, playing, reading, and driving. The audio, show notes, and much more can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And the podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, now listen on your smart home device by saying Play Eyes on Success Podcast. ACBDA, American Council of the Blind, Diabetics in Action, Tupperware Fundraiser. Are you looking for Christmas gifts for those hard-to-buy for friends and relatives? Are they close by or many miles away? The ACBDA Tupperware Fundraiser has just the answer for you. Tupperware has put together a list of products that you may order, and Tupperware will donate 40% of the sales to ACBDA. Date of the fundraiser is now through December 27th, 2019. All orders are paid when ordering and shipped directly to you or whomever and wherever you wish. Payment can be made by using PayPal, credit or debit card, or a check. This offer is good for anyone, so please share this information with your friends and family. If you have a Facebook account, you can view this list along with pictures and even order on the ACBDA Tupperware Fundraiser group page. Link is below. You can invite your Facebook friends to the group. Emailing the links is also an option. If you have any questions or need help in any way, feel free to contact Becky Dunkerson, ACBDA Secretary. Make sure to put in the subject line or beginning message that this is related to the ACBDA fundraiser, so I can make sure to keep up with everyone. Tupperware has many more items that are available, however, not with the option of donating the 40%. See link below. Links and contact information, ACBDA Tupperware Fundraiser Facebook group page. Here you can view the description, actual pictures of items, and even order. https://www.facebook.com/groups/307-919-315-544-401/query-ref=group_browse. Tupperware website. You can order from the entire Tupperware website. However, these items are not included in the fundraiser benefit, and the orders will be kept separate. To browse and place an order, go to https://dthompson.my.tupperware.com. We suggest you open using the Google Chrome site. Donna Thompson, Independent Tupperware Consultant, text 515-419-8428. Start off with ACBDA. Email djthompson@mchsi.com. Add to subject line ACBDA fundraiser. Becky Dunkerson, ACBDA Secretary. Text 319-350-8098. Start off with ACBDA. Email Beccalou, Beccalou, 1202@AOL.com. Add to subject line ACBDA fundraiser. Again, if you have questions, want assistance placing your order, or need any help, please do not hesitate to contact Donna or Becky. Signed, Becky Dunkerson, ACBDA Secretary. Catherine Schneider, Ph.D., writes, "It's finally happened. The blindness-related emojis we've been hearing about for a year are finally here in the 13.2 update. They are as follows. Woman with a white cane, number 378. Person with a white cane, number 379. Man with a white cane, number 380. Guide dogs, number 554. Service dog, number 555. Signed, Kathy." From news.microsoft.com, ideas from the heart could help make employment more attainable for people with disabilities. By Suzanne Choney, Choney, aired 17 October 2019. Kim Charlson was 11 when she started losing her eyesight because of glaucoma. An operation a year and a half later not only didn't help, it resulted in complications that hastened her blindness. Her pragmatic parents insisted she learn Braille, a key to literacy for people who are blind or have low vision. Without that literacy, Charlson likely wouldn't have gone to college or a career. Only 13% of blind students in the United States know Braille, and roughly 70% of adults who are blind or have low vision are unemployed. Those troubling statistics are one reason Charlson is excited about an app that will help increase the amount of time students can spend learning and practicing Braille. Objective Ed, the company that's developing the Braille AI Tutor app, is a new recipient of Microsoft's AI for Accessibility grants to people using AI-powered technology to make the world a more inclusive place. 10 other recipients joining the program in conjunction with National Disability Awareness Month include City University of London, Enable, IMERCIV, and the Open University. We have a huge opportunity and a responsibility to be making technology smarter and more useful for people with disabilities, says Mary Ballard, Microsoft Senior Architect Lead for Accessibility. The aim of the AI for Accessibility program, which began in 2018 and now has 32 grantees, is to help people build something really useful at the intersection of AI, accessibility, and disability. The Braille AI Tutor app is the latest project for ObjectiveEd's president, Marty Schultz, a longtime software developer and volunteer teacher who created an iPhone game 5 years ago called Blindfold Racer for children who are blind. It led to more than 80 games for the iPhone and iPad that have together been downloaded more than 500,000 times. Charlson, former president of the American Council of the Blind, is a big fan of Schultz's work. So is Judy Dixon, consumer relations officer for the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And the two women often talked with him about the importance of Braille education for literacy and employment. Schultz took it to heart and to the drawing board. Some students who are blind or have low vision attend schools that are geared to their needs and where Braille is taught and used daily. But many attend public schools and learn Braille from teachers who visit their schools once a week, spending about an hour with each student. If you only get an hour a week with the teacher, I mean, how many kids would learn how to read print if they only had an hour a week of instruction, says Charlson. It's not enough. You have to immerse yourself in it at the developmental stage, or you're not going to be as fluent in it as you need to be as an adult. The Braille AI Tutor app will incorporate AI-based speech recognition using Microsoft's Azure Speech API to help students practice reading Braille with personalized, gamified learning plans. The app will send a word or a sentence to a refreshable Braille display, one of the types of hardware used for reading Braille. The student will feel the word in Braille, say the word or sentence out loud, and then the app will process the audio feedback and let the student know immediately if they are correct or not. Teachers will be able to monitor students' progress with results sent to a web dashboard. We see our role as not teaching the student, but giving the student the ability to practice when that teacher's not around, Schultz says. The teacher teaches, and we make practicing fun and engaging and something that can be done without the teacher being there. So the next time the student meets with the teacher, the student has made some real progress. Schultz says the extra practice will help students accelerate more quickly through school, which will lead to college and to much better employment opportunities in the future. Two longtime friends who watched their loved ones go through vision loss found another way to help, using technology to help people get to work or otherwise navigate their cities. Bin Liu and Arjun Mali are from different parts of the world, but their lives took parallel paths. Liu, born in China, moved at age 9 with his family to Gaborone, Botswana for several years because of his father's work as a civil engineer. Mali spent parts of his childhood in India and the United Arab Emirates, where his father worked for a while in the sales of fiber optic networks. About 10 years ago, Liu's father was diagnosed with inoperable glaucoma. Mali's grandmother in India had partial sight, and he sometimes accompanied her to a local school for the blind, where she volunteered to read and teach English to children. The two were in university when they met in Toronto and became friends playing poker. They often talked about some of the frustrations and indignities faced by people who are blind or have low vision, as well as ways to improve mobility for those with vision impairment. Vision loss affected our families, and we saw an opportunity to create a technological solution that would impact that community, says Molly, who graduated with an economics degree from McMaster University in Ontario. Liu, who has a civil engineering degree from the University of Toronto, had been searching for devices that could help his dad navigate obstacles more precisely with his cane, and says he didn't find much. Liu and Molly developed their first product together, the Buzz Clip. It's a 2-ounce clip-on wearable device that uses ultrasound to detect obstacles in a person's path, then alerts the user with different vibrations and frequencies. Early on, the Duo received support from the Impact Center, the University of Toronto's accelerator for startup tech companies. And in 2014, they formed their company, IMERCIV.com/Inc. Now, among AI for Accessibility's latest grantees, iMersive is developing a navigation app called Map in Hood for pedestrians who are blind or have low vision and who want to choose the routes they take if they're walking to work or to any destination. The app will audibly alert a person to hazards from construction to high crime areas to avoid while walking, as well as let them know about things they might need, like water fountains, benches, or ramps. It's all based on machine learning, crowdsourced data, and open source information from local law enforcement. Current navigation systems in general are optimized to generate routes that are the fastest or shortest for getting to a destination, but Leo says that's not always the best route for pedestrians with disabilities trying to find the best walking route to work, shops, or parks, for example. The app is now in the alpha stages of being tested with help from the nonprofit Canadian National Institute for the Blind, which also worked with iMersive on the BuzzClip. The app uses iMersive's custom routing engine, and with the AI for Accessibility grant, will use Azure machine learning, storage, and virtual machines. Map in Hood Toronto will also be a template for the app in other cities. Our focus is on personalization, making the app as flexible and as customizable as it can be, Liu says. Because with navigation for pedestrians in general, and especially for people with disabilities, you cannot have a single solution that fits all needs. For people with autism, sometimes the biggest hurdle to employment is the interview. That's the focus of Nilanjan Sarkar. A family member, a cousin's son, has autism. And in doing research later, Sarkar learned that people on the autism spectrum sometimes respond better when they deal with intelligent systems, such as chatbots, instead of people. Sarkar, director of the Robotics and Autonomous Systems Lab at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, is now leading a project aimed at helping people with autism perform well in job interviews using intelligent systems. Career Interview Readiness in Virtual Reality, CIRVR, is being developed in conjunction with Vanderbilt University's Frist Center for Autism and Innovation, having joined the AI for Accessibility program earlier this year. In the U.S., there are approximately 2.5 million adults on the autism spectrum, Sarkar says. 60% or more of them can do some work. However, 5% of those able to work are either underemployed or unemployed. CIRVR is a virtual reality job interview platform that uses Azure AI and incorporates a computer avatar that acts as the interviewer, a wearable device that tracks interviewees' physiological measures, such as heart rate and skin sweating, to infer their anxiety using machine learning techniques and an eye tracker to gauge attention. This system will quantitatively and objectively gather lots of data regarding their anxiety, where they're looking, eye contact, and how they're responding, what they should have done. And we believe we can create a feedback system so that by repeated practice, they will improve their interviewing skills, Sarkar says. People with autism sometimes like to interact with things that respond in a routine way, in a predictable way, Sarkar says. Human response, human interactions are not predictable, and that can be confusing. Many times, he says, open-ended interview questions such as, can you tell me about an instance where you resolved a conflict? Or how did you help a teammate? Might create anxiety. So can tests with urgency, such as being asked to solve a programming problem quickly. Sarkar says CIRVR testing has begun and will provide feedback to the interviewees so they can practice improving how they handle interviews. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please call 919-832-5138 with questions.